Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer and then turn to 34, sweet hour of prayer. Father, here we are once again to just bow our heads down before you and look at one of the prayers in the Bible. And there's always so much to learn from each prayer in the Bible or wherever we are in your word, Lord. But this morning we just want to acknowledge you and be prepared and willing to pray for what you put on our hearts, Lord. So guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Sweet hour of prayer 34. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare. By thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word and trust his grace, cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Well, we had the first verse there. It said, in times of distress and grief. And this morning we look at a prayer in times of really true distress and grief. I turn to 2 Kings 19. We look at Hezekiah's prayer today, and when we look at the dire situation that the nation of Judah was in, it's almost impossible to understand the fear, the distress that they must have been under. The conqueror at this point is Assyria. Assyria has already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel some years earlier. Now they're down into Judah, and they've conquered all of Judah except two cities, Lachish and Jerusalem. And they have Lachish under siege, and the king, Sennacherib, sends his commander-in-chief, Rabshakeh, over to Jerusalem to try to get them to just surrender without having to go through the siege and without having to go through the big battle. And so Rabshakeh comes, and he, in chapter 19, he threatens them and tells them that not to rely on their God, because no God can deliver anyone from the king of Assyria. And they rattle off all the names of the gods that have been unable to keep Assyria from conquering this nation and that nation and every other nation. And so there's great fear. And we hear it's brought to King Hezekiah's attention. And in the first verse, we see him doing three things, which is very good for us all to pay attention to, I think. He heard it. And then he recognizes the seriousness of it, because he tears his clothes and covers himself with sackcloth. Then he goes into the house of the Lord to pray. Always a good thing to go into the house of the Lord. Now, keep in mind, he's not going into the Holy of Holies like Uzziah did, but he's going into the temple area where the king could go. And then he sends Eliakim and Shebna to Isaiah and asks Isaiah to pray. Isaiah immediately responds of the Lord, saying, do not be afraid of the words I think that's good for us. To recognize sometimes our fear is based on things that are really not all that significant. They sound scary, but are they really, are they words? Or are they something more than that? And then he kind of belittles the messenger here because he said, don't be afraid of the words which you've heard from the servants of the king. He goes ahead and speaking for the Lord said, I will send a spirit upon the king and he shall hear of Assyria and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land and I will cause him to fall by the sword on his own land. So that really in as much as saying, Judah, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. And what a comfort it is to have the Lord answer our prayers. Now Rabshakeh goes back to the king of Assyria and by now he has left Lachish, and he is warring against Libna, and at the same time, the king of Assyria heard that king of Ethiopia was coming to make war against him. So now, in kind of a frantic, again, an attempt to get Jerusalem to surrender, he sends messengers to Hezekiah, and this is the message in verse 10: Don't let your God in whom you trust deceive you. So these are heavy statements, aren't they? They're not really coming against Hezekiah. They're not really coming against Jerusalem. They're coming against the God of Israel. Do not let your God deceive you. Jerusalem shall not be given into the hands of Assyria, is the deception they're talking about. You've heard what the king of Assyria has done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? And really, that's been true. Have the gods, little g, of the nations delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan, Haran, Resheph, and the people of Eden who were in Telassar? Where is the king of Hamath and the king of Arpad, the king of the city of Sepharim, Hena and Iva? And now look what Hezekiah does. And I think this is good any time you get a bad letter. He receives the letter. He reads it, read it. He went up to the house of the Lord. That's a good place to go after you read your letter. Particularly a serious letter. Goes up to the house of the Lord and spread it. So he read it and he spread it. He received it. He read it. He spread it. And then he prayed. Now here he goes directly to the Lord. He doesn't even go to Isaiah. He goes directly to the Lord. Verse 15. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Now notice this address. This is a beautiful address here. He's addressing the God of Israel because this prayer is going to concern the God of Israel because that's who the enemy is coming against. And then, where is he? He says he dwells between the cherubim. And then he says, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. So he's got the right God, doesn't he? Very specific. And so when we pray, it's good to acknowledge who we're praying to, I believe. Always good to have the right address. And you may say, well, obviously if I'm praying to the Father, he knows I'm addressing him. But I think it's always good to acknowledge whom we're praying to, and it puts us into a perspective. Here we are a worm, or as Job says, man is nothing but a maggot and a worm. Here we are a maggot and a worm in effect, at least apart from him we are, approaching his throne, and so we need to know who we're approaching, don't we? So he has this great address. Now hear his prayer in the next few verses. Verse 16 says, this is really pretty much the same thing Solomon said, and it's the same thing David says back in the Psalms. You know, David says, what? Bow down your ear to me, O Lord, for I'm poor and needy, right? Isn't that true? Here he says, incline your ears, O Yahweh, and hear. Open your eyes, O Yahweh, and see. And hear the words of the enemy, which they've sent to reproach you, the living God. And now he states a fact. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire. But look, they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, these gods were destroyed. Now here's a prayer in verse 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, here's the two words, save us, save us, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone. So Again, this is so good when the whole essence of the prayer here is, Lord, for your name's sake, that all the nations may know that you are the God, the one true and living God, that God alone save us. That's the purpose of this prayer request by Hezekiah here in 2 Kings 19, isn't it? Now notice what happens. In verse 20, it says, Then Isaiah, now we're back to the prophet Isaiah. He's asking, prophetically he's responding very quickly, it would seem. This is the Lord speaking to him, and here's what he says. Because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Isn't that an encouraging statement? God is telling him, because you have prayed, I have heard. So be encouraged in your prayer. God hears your prayers. He hears our prayers. Because you have prayed, I have heard. And then he goes ahead and he basically is going to say what he's going to do to the king of Assyria, and it's not good news. And then as we go on to verse 35, because in essence of time I'm not going to go through all of the long answer here. But in verse 35 we read, And it came to pass on a certain night, this is a little bit later, that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. Now, one of the things in the prophecy about the answer here to the prayer was that not an arrow would be shot. And so 185,000 of the Assyrian army was destroyed without an arrow ever being shot into the city, just as God said it would. So when you're in a position of great distress, obviously recognize it for what it is. Is it really true danger, or are you just suspecting it's danger? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and pray to Him. Ask for prayer if you feel it is appropriate to ask others to pray for you as well. And then similarly, if you get a letter, a bad letter, read it, spread it, and pray. And remember the address of your prayer. Remember to ask for what you want done, and stand on the promises of God, and pray in the name of God that he would be shown strong, right, in this whole situation. And then listen and watch for his answer. What does Jesus say in 1 Peter? He says, Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you, right? Father, we thank you for the prayers in the Bible and how much they tell us. We thank you for the encouragement of seeing here in this particular prayer that the answer was, because you prayed, I heard. Because you prayed, I heard. So, Lord, we're here to pray today, not to inform you of anything, because you already know, because you're going to prompt us to pray for the things that we will pray for. But our role is to have our will aligned with your will. Our role is to complete the cycle of having done what you want to do. And Lord, you are all powerful. You can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it. But you'll work through people if they are willing, and you want to work through us to bring glory to yourself. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be nothing that would hinder this morning the prompting of the receiving from the prompting of your Spirit. And that we would be in one accord as we respond now to your Spirit and bring things to prayer that you would have us to lift up. So guide us now in this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.